Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Wolves. My name is Alan Horton. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a great week. You can follow me on Twitter at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves. Big weekend coming up here in the Twin Cities. The Timberwolves training camp officially keeps going basically until the regular season, but for all intents and purposes, the first 2 weeks are essentially the training camp, and then it's the preseason after that, and the Wolves will have their first preseason game tomorrow. It'll be in Kansas City against the Miami Heat. No local radio or TV for that one. We'll have to see if the Miami Heat are televising that and try to find a stream somewhere to be able to watch the Wolves take on the Miami Heat tomorrow night. Vikings are coming up on Sunday. They'll take on the Houston Texans. Of course, for all your Vikings news, head over to Locked On Vikings. Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels, they get you dialed in on the 4-0 Vikings as they look to stay undefeated against the Texans on Sunday. Also on Sunday, it's the Lynx and Sparks, game one of the WNBA Finals. Yep, two Western Conference teams matching up in the finals with a playoff shift this year by the league that has produced two of the two best teams in the WNBA, and they'll match up in the finals. Should be a lot of fun. Target Center is going to be packed. It'll be a 2 o'clock start time. Go to LynxBasketball.com for all your ticket needs. That's LynxBasketball.com. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk about some news and notes from Thursday's Day 8 of training camp. Plus, we'll get you some sound from today and yesterday as we get caught up and let you hear from some of the guys, including head coach Tom Thibodeau. We'll hear from Karl Anthony Towns, little Chris Dunn as well. We'll talk some Gorgie Jang, and then we'll finish things up talking corner three-pointers, why they're important, and why the Wolves, when you break down the numbers, they seem to have an awfully high number of guys that shoot well from the corners. Does that bode well for the season? We'll discuss coming up. A couple of shout-outs. First of all, hitting me up at Wolves Radio is DJ Rekstad, at Dej Rekstad. Great to meet you at the breakfast this morning. Glad to put a face with a voice. Love the podcast. Keep it up, DJ. Great to meet you as well. Appreciate the kind words. T-Wolves Israel, at T-Wolves underscore IL. Shout out from Wolves fans listening in Israel. What's up with Lior Eliyahu and his draft rights? Well, first off, thanks for listening in Israel. We had one from Australia. And where else did I say we had people listening? I think it was in England, one of the earlier podcasts. And T-Wolves Israel, love it. So hit them up on Twitter. Lior Eliyahu was a 2006 second-round draft pick by the Orlando Magic. He got traded to Houston, and how the Wolves eventually got involved was in 2012 when the Wolves sent, remember this, they sent the first-round pick, number 18 overall, to the Houston Rockets for Chase Budinger, and included in that deal was Eliyahu. Now, he's 6'8", a power forward. He's from Israel, and he plays in the Israeli Super League. He's played for their national team a little bit, too. He's a well-decorated player there. He even played under David Blatt at Maccabi back in the day when David Blatt was there. The former came over and was the Cleveland Cavaliers head coach before getting ousted last season. But T-Wolves Israel, to get to your answer about the draft rights of Lior, is now 31 years of age. And, you know, I while I haven't heard any news either way, whether or not he can make it to the NBA, based on the fact that he's a 6'8" power forward and his age is 31 years of age, it's looking more and more unlikely that he will make it to the NBA. But the Timberwolves still do have his rights, and I guess you never know. I'll try to look into it a little bit more and see if he's on anybody's radar. Well, let's get to day eight of training camp. It was yesterday. It was a brief version after practice, as the Timberwolves often have league meetings afterwards, security meetings. They have Players Association meetings, all those kind of things, and they had a security meeting yesterday. So only Tom Thibodeau and Karl Anthony Towns were able to speak to the media afterwards. First, Tibbs talked about wanting to play a lot of guys in these first couple of preseason games. No surprise there. He's not going to burn anybody out in those first two games. And he talked about winning the preseason games, and it does. He says it does mean something, and you want to establish that winning culture. We'll have to see whether or not that means going so far as to put your starters back in with 3 minutes to go and maybe a close game, and playing those guys more minutes than he originally thought. I would expect that probably not to happen. So in that case, I don't think winning trumps a bad word, especially this time of year, overrides being safe and sticking to a game plan. I don't think they're going to go all out to win these preseason games. But Tip says that the guys have been practicing hard, and that should carry over into them playing well in the games. And I thought the biggest nugget coming out of from Tibbs today was asked a couple of times about the open roster spot. Timberwolves do have an open roster spot, even though they have 17 players in camp right now. Only 14 of them are on guaranteed contracts, so you can carry up to 15. So there's an open roster spot that leaves John Lucas III, that leaves Ture Murray, and it leaves Rasul Butler fighting for that potential spot. But Tibbs said they're keeping their options open. That could involve none of those three making the team, and maybe the Wolves signing a guy who is he's cut from another team during training camp or preseason, or they could go into the season with a roster spot open and not have it filled and maybe sign a 10-day, and it just leaves you with other options. But, you know, Tibbs would not directly answer the question about whether it would be filled by that first regular season game, but every indication kind of gives you the clue that it sounds like Rasul Butler probably has the inside track to that 15th spot. I mean, he's a veteran. He fills kind of a position of need, too. He and Ture Murray are wing players. Butler has been around this game. We know he's played for Thibodeau before. It wasn't for, you know, years. It was only really for about 3 months in that first season for Tibbs in Chicago. But you just get the sense that he probably has the edge there. Unless Murray does something really special in this training camp, I think Butler would have the edge in that race for the final playoff spot. Karl Anthony Towns talked about the team looking good. He says he's looking forward to the road trip. And Tibbs said, Kat said that, you know, when he was at Kentucky, they went on a preseason tour, which went down to, I think he said, the Bahamas. And they really bonded well off of that. And he didn't mention it by name, but last year, of course, the Wolves got off to that great start on the road. They went 4-0, their first four road games. They went 5-1 to start the year on the road. And Sam Mitchell really attributed that to being on the road so much in the preseason. Five of their seven games last year in the preseason were on the road. It wasn't all one trip, but they spent a ton of time kind of bonding and going to some different non-NBA cities like Montreal and Ottawa. I think there was another stop in there in a non-NBA city, and that seemed to pay dividends early on. So hopefully that continues, that trend continues for the upcoming 2016-2017 season. As for some sound, how about hearing from Kat? Kat talked about looking forward to finally getting into some games.
I think for us, the first game is going to be a true indication of how we retain the knowledge we learned in this training camp, how our conditioning is, how everything is, and where we need to improve at. You don't go out there to lose, so we're going to go out there and try to win every single preseason game, no matter what the competition is, and we're going to go out there and try our best.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Kat said that the team's been practicing well, and hopefully that will carry over to the games. And even though they don't mean anything, I mean, these guys want to go out there and win games, and the guys to a man have talked about kind of establishing that winning culture. Head coach Tom Thibodeau on the attention to detail that has increased as camp has progressed.
You don't want to lose sight of how you get there, you know, and I think to understand what goes into winning and to put a premium on doing the right things and look at how we prepare, how we study, how we practice, do the right things in practice. Understanding, knowing your opponent well is very important to have the ability to go out and execute. Those things are the things we're working on right now.
Well, Tibbs, not exactly with the most exciting of answers. He's sort of fallen back into his key words, trusting the process, laying a foundation, closing the gap, emphasizing strengths, hiding weaknesses, all kind of buzzwords for him, not really letting you too far in behind the curtain, which is just fine. We're kind of, like I said a couple of podcasts ago this week, we're just kind of in this lull right now, and some of the early storylines from the opening week have kind of run their course, so we don't really have any games yet to talk about or lineup rotations, and nobody's really seen any of the practices, so there's not much to comment on there. So I think we're just kind of getting through this until we can get to some actual games, and then we'll have more to discuss. Chris Dunn, the rookie point guard out of Providence, he was asked about being older than four of his teammates right now.
You know, they try to call me Rook. You know, the guys that are younger than me, I tell them, you know, that doesn't kind of faze me because I'm older than you guys. So it's kind of irrelevant you guys saying that, but, you know, we all just joking around.
So Dunn older than Zach LaVine, Karl Anthony Towns, Tyus Jones, Andrew Wiggins. He played AAU ball against Shabazz Muhammad, so they're the same draft class. But that time in school for Dunn, he thinks that's paid off.
You know, I feel like I could adjust to the plays a lot easier. You know, I'm learning the game a lot easier because I know so much, you know, through college. You know, the people that come out their first year, I don't think they get to be as knowledgeable as they can be during all 4 years. So, you know, I think I'm very knowledgeable. I think I got a high IQ because I stayed all 4 years. And, you know, the physical part, I got to work on my body all 4 years. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm physical enough to play with the guys right away.
Well, Dunn certainly looked the part in summer league. You could see that physicalness. His body is really filled out, and you can tell he's kind of got that football mentality. His dad still thinks he could have been and would have been an NFL player in the NFL, would have been a cornerback in the NFL, and really wanted him to go down that route of playing football over basketball. But things have worked out pretty well so far for Chris Dunn. Ricky Rubio on looking forward to Saturday's game.
It's like when you're in school, you can study and you think that you're ready, but then until you don't go to the test, you don't exactly know how you're going to do it. So the feeling right now, it's pretty well, it's pretty good, but we just have to put all together and put it in the game.
Another area that Ricky likes, how about the team's depth? The bench has played extremely well in the preseason from all accounts, whether it's from Tibbs or whether it's from Ricky himself or some of the other players, and the Wolves could have their best bench since Ricky arrived.
Amazing. I mean, second unit is doing a great job in training camp so far too. So as better as our second unit is, we're going to be a better team. So that's what we're looking for, pushing forward to a long season. It's 82 games. We're going to need a depth bench.
That would be big if the Wolves bench could perform. We've seen over the last few years, and who knows how long it's been since the Wolves have had a deep bench. You know, we've seen the starters perform well, seems like year after year, and then that second unit comes on, and you know, your production and efficiency and all that just seems to head southward, and then the hole is digging, and the starters have to come back in to try to patch things up. So a bench would be huge this season. How about a guy who we haven't, you know, his name has not gotten discussed very much in this training camp, a guy who put up career highs in points and field goal percentage last season, and he made a few plays like this.
Here's Wiggins with it up top. Don't have to have a three here. Wiggins off the town screen, out in the corner. Gorgie, corner three on the way. Oh, Gorgie Jang just knocked down a corner three opposite the Wizards bench to tie the game at 109. It is just the fourth three of the season for G. He is 4 of 17 from beyond the arc this season. That includes that shot right there.
That's the way it sounded on 830 WCCO and the Timberwolves radio network. Gorgie Jang, who continues to improve every season, he could play a huge role under head coach Tom Thibodeau this season. It's the fourth head coach in 4 years for Gorgie, and here's Tibbs talking about what Gorgie brings to the team.
Yeah, I think he's invaluable to our team because he does a lot of little things that help you win. Sometimes they go unnoticed in a box score, but his screening, his rebounding, his defense, his ability to hit an open shot. Again, the team functions well with him on the floor. And the thing that's probably overlooked is his passing ability. He's very effective in the high post area, looking high-low, making a quick decision to the second pick and roll. So he's been real solid.
And I don't know if that corner three-point shot for Gorgui is going to continue or not. We know he took a lot of threes with his Senegal national team, not this offseason when he did not play for them, but in previous years. But Gorgui was 5 of 13 on his corner threes this past season. That's right at league average. That's 38%. And I did a little digging into the Wolves and their what could potentially be their 10-man rotation and how well they shoot corner threes. Now, let's first step back and find out why corner threes are so important. When you look back at last season across the entire league, 9 of the 10 teams, top 10 in corner three-pointers made, 9 of them reached the postseason. And over the last 4 years, if you finish in the top 10 in corner three-pointers made, you're making the postseason 78% of the time. So there's a high correlation there. Teams that knock down corner threes get to the postseason almost 80% of the time. Now, also, the last 3 years, all 6 NBA Finals teams ranked in the top 5 of corner three-pointers made. So that gives you an idea of how important it is. I'm not saying the Wolves can get into that top 5 that they're going to end up in the finals. No, but it gives you an idea that winning teams and really good teams take advantage of that corner three-point shot. And last year, it wasn't so much that the Wolves didn't shoot the corner threes well. As a team, they hit 39% of their corner threes. That ranked them in the top half of the league. Now, just barely. They were 14th in the league in percentage, but they only took 3.5 per game. 3.5 attempts from the corners per game, that ranked dead last in the NBA. Now, that's not just because they didn't take a lot of threes. We've already established that they're 29th in the league in three-pointers attempted last year. You look at the percentage of their threes that were corner threes, that's a much more telling stat. The league average is 25% of your of threes are normally corner threes. The Wolves were at 21%. So 21% of all their three-point shots came from the corners. That ranked them 28th in the league. So not a big surprise then that they've been dead last in corner three-pointers made each of the last 2 years. They've been in the bottom 8 for 4 years in a row. It's just a shot that has not been emphasized enough. You want to win in today's game, you've got to not only shoot threes and make threes, but you also have to take advantage of those corner threes. And when you look at this potential 10-man roster, and I'll use that word potential because we really don't know what that rotation is going to be, but I'm going with this 10-man group. Same starting five as the end of last season with Rubio, LaVine, Wiggins, Jang, and Towns. And then my five off the bench would be Dunn, Rush, Muhammad, Bielitsa, and Cole Aldridge. So when you look at those 10 players, and then you break down their corner three-point percentage, it's very interesting. Let's start with Ricky. Last year, 41% on his corner threes. Now, over his career, he's a 35% career three-point shooter. So not bad. It's a couple of ticks under league average. Remember, 38% is the league average. But, you know, Ricky's right there, and he's had a couple of good years from the corners, and 41% last year. Zach LaVine, 2 years ago, his rookie year, he shot 38% from the corner, so he's right at league average. Last year, he jumped to 46% on his corner threes. That ranked him 14th in the NBA. So you've got potentially an elite corner three-point shooter in Zach LaVine. How about Andrew Wiggins? We know he's really struggled from beyond the arc, but when you break down the numbers, he hasn't struggled from the corners. His rookie year, 42% from the corners, 28% above the break. Last year, 40% from the corners, 28% from above the break. So he's been a very good corner three-point shooter. We mentioned Gorgui Jang last year, 5 of 13, 38%. His career numbers won't do anything to help his cause because that three-point shot really just evolved last season. Karl Anthony Towns, we know he's got range. He shot 36% above the break, but he was just 2 of 9 from the corners. So I think we'll put a question mark next to Kat, although when it comes down to it, man, I'll take the big man shooting from just about anywhere with his touch. I would be surprised if he doesn't he doesn't hit that at least a league average rate. Let's go to the second unit. Chris Dunn, well, we don't know too much because there's no sample size there. As a rookie coming out of Providence, and the three-point line in college, a different number, and I wouldn't even know where to go to find his corner three-pointers at Providence. Cole Aldridge, he didn't hit a shot over 10 feet in 3 of the last 4 years, so he is not going to be a factor in corner three-point shooting. Let's get to Brandon Rush. How is Mr. Rush from the corners? Not bad. 43% for his career. And he's taken a healthy number of attempts from the corner, so that's extremely encouraging. How about Boz? Shabazz has not shot the three particularly well, especially last year. He did the year before. But how about this? 41% from the corners 2 years ago, 42% from the corners last year. So Boz is a good corner three-point shooter. Belly didn't have a ton of attempts from the corner, but he had 6 of 13. And the way he finished up the year, shooting something like 65% from beyond the arc over the last 8 games, he's got the touch, and he hit 6 out of 13. That's 46%. So when you total all those things together, you look at those 10 players, you've got 7 guys who have been good or better than good from the corner three, and an 8th guy in Karl Anthony Towns that I think we all might take our chances with the big man shooting from the corner. So potentially you have 8 of 10 guys in your regular rotation that can knock down corner threes. Now the question will be, will the Wolves start to emphasize that three a little more? I think they will. Tibbs has already talked about the importance of the three-point line. He's talked about the three-point line more in general than in above the break versus corners. But I think there's no question you're going to see more than 3.5 attempts from the corners. You have to take advantage of that three-point line, which means taking advantage of those corner threes, which are a foot and a half shorter. So I think that's pretty encouraging. Some of the numbers from this Wolves, the guys that we at this point think are going to be regulars in that rotation, there's a chance for the Wolves to be really good from the corners. So the Wolves will have one more practice coming up this morning. They'll get underway in about an hour from now, and then they'll fly out this afternoon heading to Kansas City to take on the Miami Heat. And they'll be on the road for 10 straight days, including Friday. So all of next week, they won't get back till next Sunday night after playing 6 games in that 10-day span. We'll have a radio broadcast for you coming up on Monday night. That game will be in Charlotte as Tom Thibodeau goes up against his good friend Steve Clifford. You notice that the Charlotte Hornets are on the schedule twice. I think that's not a coincidence there, as Thibodeau and Clifford coached together in Houston, also coached together in New York. Those guys remain very close, both under Jeff Van Gundy at both those periods of time. So those guys are tight, and I would expect Charlotte to be on the preseason schedule probably every year going forward from this point out. I can't find the last time these teams even matched up in the preseason. It may be the first ever preseason matchup between the Timberwolves and the Hornets. How exciting. Anyway, we'll have that broadcast for you on Monday night. No TV on the entire road trip, at least locally, and that's the only game we're going to carry radio-wise. TV always carries 2 games. Radio always carries 2 games. I don't know why. It just is what it is, even though most teams are televising all their games and carrying all their games on radio. The Wolves have always done it kind of this way. We'll have to see if there's some visiting television feeds that we can get our hands on over the weekend. Maybe, I don't know if even League Pass is up and running yet. We'll have to find out on Saturday night. Keep it tuned to Twitter. We'll try to keep people updated that way if someone finds a stream or League Pass is available, anything like that. So that's kind of the schedule going forward. So our next Locked On Wolves will come to you live Monday morning from Charlotte. Yes, we'll have the Heat game to talk about, and we'll kind of preview things coming up with the Charlotte Hornets. Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for telling your friends, your family, your neighbors about Locked On Wolves. It is catching fire. It is heating up as we head towards the regular season. This has been another edition of Locked On Wolves, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.